First John chapter 3. And as a father, it's nice to receive gifts on Father's Day. But what about when the father is the one giving the gifts? In John, 1 John chapter 3, and 1 John is a wonderful book. It's written to us as little children, those who are believers in Christ. And look in 1 John chapter 3. If you would stand with us, please, out of reverence for the Word of God. In 1 John chapter 1, again, the book of 1 John is a marvelous, it's a small book, but man, it's powerful. It is packed with doctrine. It is packed with instruction. Chapter 1 talks about our pardon, about how that we're that God forgives sins. Chapter 2 talks about our partnership, talking about not being yoked, loving the world, and the love of the, if a man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And it talks about our partnership with the world, our partnership with Christ. Chapter 4 talks about our practice, how we are to exhibit our love one for another. Chapter 5 talks about our prospect. One day we're going to be like him, we're going to be with him. In chapter 3, and it's almost like in 1 John, he's writing five chapters here. And in chapter 3, he begins the first with an emphatic statement, "Behold." And it's like John is seeing it for the very first time. And John's been writing about the whole book. But notice chapter 3, verse 1. "Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth not, because it knew him not. Behold, what manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." I love Father's Day. I love Father's Day gifts. It's a great thing when the Father gives gifts. And John stops all of a sudden and he says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us." It's Father's Day, John is saying, and Father's giving the gifts. He's not getting the gifts, he's giving the gifts. And he says, can I put it in South Georgia terminology? My, oh my, what God has given to us. What manner, by the way, I don't want to add to scripture, but I think we could also say not only what manner of love, but we could also say what measure of love the Father has bestowed upon us. My, oh my, it's overwhelming, isn't it, what God has done for us. Father's Day gifts from the Father is what we're going to look at this evening. Heavenly Father, I pray to help us this evening. Thank you for your great gift of salvation. Lord, we could be here for a while tonight talking about your good gifts. And Lord, on this Father's Day, we are grateful for the privilege of being a father. Lord, for our fathers who have instructed us and taught us and loved us and corrected us. Lord, we're ever grateful and thankful for those examples you set in our life. But as John writes, we can't begin to understand. And even though John is a disciple, an apostle, in the midst of his letter, he is overwhelmed once again. And he says, with no other words to describe it, he just says, "Behold." Can you believe what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us to even call us sons of God? And as John is overwhelmed with the measure and the manner of God's love, Lord, I pray you'd help us tonight that we would also be overwhelmed with how good you are to us. And gifts from the Father are much greater than gifts to the Father. May we understand, appreciate, and respond to these gifts you've given to us this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. I don't know what all John is thinking when he writes this verse, but I can't help believe that John takes a moment, steps back from maybe his writing, steps back from his responsibilities, and takes a moment to just bask in the love of God. And by the way, that is a great thing to do. And the only thing John can say is, "Behold." Only thing John can say is, "Wow. Man, when I think about God's love toward us, what manner of love is this? What measure of love is this that the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God?" If we stop right there, we could be here a while talking about what manner of love God has bestowed upon us. Again, we often look at those without, and you would never say this because you're too spiritual, and I wouldn't either because I'm too spiritual, but inside we think, "Man, how could God love that?" Well, I'll tell you how. Same way he loves you. And the same way he loves me. It's his manner of love. It's his measure of love. And John is somewhat overwhelmed, and we ought to be overwhelmed at the measure of love. I want to take one that word bestow, and I want to look at the three gifts God has bestowed upon us. If you would please turn to Psalms 26, the 26th Psalm, and we're going to look at some verses in that Psalm. Three gifts that we want to mention tonight that the Father has bestowed upon us. And again, we're working up to talking about the gifts of the Spirit. We haven't got there yet, but we're working on it, and we'll get to that eventually. But there's a lot of gifts that God gives us. First of all, I'm looking at this word bestowed upon us. What God bestows, that word bestow means to hand down. It means to give, in effect, to present, if you will, to bestow. And so we see this word bestow. Looking before we read Psalm 26, let me read Isaiah 63, verse 7. Isaiah 63, verse 7 says, I'll mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed upon us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he hath bestowed upon them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. Now he uses the word twice, two words he uses twice. He uses the word bestowed twice, and he uses the word loving kindnesses twice. He said, I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord, which he hath bestowed upon us, at the first part of the verse. Then to the end of the verse, he said, which he hath bestowed upon us, this bestowed upon them, according to his mercies, and according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. So in the beginning of verse 7 of Isaiah chapter 63, he mentions the loving kindnesses of the Lord. But then at the end of the verse, he mentions the multitude of the loving kindnesses of the Lord. In other words, he's saying God is just not loving. His loving kindness is not one time or not one event or not one gift. He said he has a multitude of loving kindnesses. God is over and abundant, merciful. And so I look at number one, the first gift that God gives is the gift of God's goodness. The gift of God's goodness. Let's look at this word loving kindness. Look in Psalm 26 and verse 3. Psalm 26, verse 20. I'm looking at this word loving kindness. God has bestowed upon us loving kindness. Verse 3 of Psalm 26. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I've walked in thy truth. Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. Turn if you would to Psalm 63. Psalm 63. And this loving kindness is before us. I don't understand how someone could see how good God has been and not say that God is good. Boy, God's goodness to us is overwhelming. In Psalm 63, notice verse 3 there. Psalm 63 and verse 3. He said, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. And I don't know about you, I love life. And I love enjoying life and living life. But the psalmist said in Psalm 63, thy loving kindness is better than life itself. Can I say to you, that's saying a mouthful? Because anything, earthly speaking, is there anything more precious than God gives us than life? I mean, the fact that he gives us breath to breathe every day, or air to breathe every day, and he gives us the ability to move and to function and to enjoy life. But David said his loving kindness is better than life. I'm thinking about the goodness of God, and David talks about the goodnesses of God. Look in Psalm 119, if you would please. Psalm 119, again, he's talking about the loving kindness, the goodness of God. And he said again in Isaiah 63, he said, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord. He said, I'm going to praise God for his loving kindness, for the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he's bestowed upon us. The word bestow means to give freely. When you give someone a gift, they don't earn it. They didn't purchase it. It's something you bestow upon them. It's something you give them out of the goodness of your heart. It may be an expression of gratitude. It may be an expression of something that they've done. But it's a bestowment of love and favor and grace. And there's nothing they can do to earn it. And God reminds us that he's bestowed upon us. Everything that we have of God, everything is unearned. It's all unearned. Sometimes we get the idea that after we've attended church long enough and we've memorized enough verses and we've done enough good deeds that God owes us. May I say to you, I don't care if you've been saved 50 years or 5 minutes, everything you have is still a bestowment of the grace of Almighty God. It's unearned. Notice what it said in Psalm 119, verse 88. Psalm 119, verse 88. He said, quicken me. The word quicken means to make alive. Quicken me after thy loving kindness. So shall I keep the testimonies of thy mouth. He said, I'm made alive by the loving kindness of God. Look in Psalm 138. Psalm 138, the last verse we'll look at in the Psalm. We'll look at a couple in the book of Jeremiah in just a moment. Psalm 138 and verse 2. Psalm 138, verse 2, he said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness. This is the second time he's used the word praise and the word loving kindness in the same, or actually it's the third time rather, he's used the word praise and the word loving kindness in the same verse. Isaiah said it in Isaiah 63:7. The psalmist said it in Psalm 63 and verse 3. He says it again in Psalm 138, verse 2, I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness. I will worship toward thy holy temple, verse 2, and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. So three verses that we've read already mention the loving kindness of God and mention the praise of God. I want to tell you, it's hard. As a matter of fact, let me just say, it's impossible to enjoy the loving kindness of God and not be involved in praising God. You can't do it. If we understand that the goodness of God and the things that we enjoy in life are part of the loving kindness of God, you can't help but praise Him. You can't help but brag on Him. You can't help but be grateful. You can't help to express His praise. And so we're talking about the goodness of God. It's Father's Day, and the best gifts are not to the Father. The best gifts are from the Father. There's a gift of God's goodness. His loving kindness is an expression. He's bestowed upon us His loving kindness. In Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 24, the Bible says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. He said, let him that glorieth in this, that he understands and knows that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness. Notice the first thing in those lists of three things, and all those are essential. His righteousness is essential. His judgment, yes, is essential. There's a lot of people today, when they talk about God, the only thing they think about God is the only thing they know of God is God's judgment. I heard it was in passing the other day, and I heard a girl talk to another girl, and they were, I don't know what the discussion is about, I don't want to know, but I heard her make the statement, you're going to go to hell for that. Now, I don't know what the girl did. I don't know what all was going on. I just was in passing. And you know, the world knows about the judgment of God. But oftentimes we forget to share the loving kindness of God. His righteousness is essential. His judgment is essential. But first and foremost in that verse, he said, let them that glory goeth glory in this, that he knows me and knows, and he knows that I exercise loving kindness. God exercises judgment. He is and He's going to exercise judgment. You can go to the bank on that. Judgment's coming. It's coming to our country. Matter of fact, it's already here. It's beginning. The Bible said that judgment begin at the house of God. And the America is a nation that has been founded on biblical principles. I'm not comparing the America. I'm not saying America is the house of God. I'm just simply saying that America is a place that was founded upon God, and judgment is beginning right here. God's bringing judgment, and God must bring judgment. God must be righteous, or His judgment is of no value. But I want to tell you, God is loving, and He's kind, and He's gracious. His loving kindness. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with everlasting love. Therefore, I love this phrase, therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I say to you, that's what God uses to draw us to the Father. So, preacher, why are we doing what we're doing tomorrow night? Because we want to exhibit God's loving kindness. I'll tell you, they need to be drawn. The Bible talks about being drawn with cords of love. May I say to you, when they understand, you say, preacher, is everybody who understands or grasps the love of God going to accept it? No. But I'm going to tell you, it'd be hard-pressed for them to be drawn to the love of Christ without ever being shown the love of Christ. And the Bible says He drew us with loving kindness. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Hosea chapter 2, and verse 19. I love this, the imagery of this verse. Hosea chapter 2, verse 19. And I will betroth thee unto me. And we know what the word betroth means. He said, I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercy. He said, when I brought you unto me, when I betrothed you unto me, when I brought the bride and the bridegroom together, he said, I brought you together, according to Hosea chapter 2, verse 19, in righteousness. There's that word righteous again. We found in Jeremiah, in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. We find the same three categories mentioned, judgment, righteousness, and loving kindness. In Jeremiah, loving kindness is mentioned first. In Hosea, loving kindness is mentioned last. And then he adds to that loving kindness and mercies. I want to tell you, that's the goodness of God. What the Father, and no wonder John said, wow, behold, can you believe it? What manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us? He bestows his goodness, his loving kindness. And again, that's just one word we've looked at. Loving kindness is just one word that is used to describe God's goodness. Just one small aspect of it. And all John can do is stand back and say, actually, he's already written two chapters. John's already written about our sins being forgiven. John's already written about the love of God in chapter 2 and how God forgives us for our sins and draws us unto him. And in chapter 3, all John can start off with is, wow, behold, what manner of love is this that the Father has bestowed upon us, the love, the gift of his goodness, manifest through his loving kindness. And Hosea chapter 2 says that loving kindness is what he drew us with and what he has betrothed us with. Now, when do we see the gift of God's goodness? I want you to notice number 2, there's a gift. Turn if you would please to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, going back to the New Testament now, there's a gift, the Father's Day gift, the best gifts are not to the Father, the best gifts are from the Father. What manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us? On this Father's Day, he's bestowed upon us the gift of God's goodness. And again, we just looked at one word, one simple word, loving kindness. And boy, we could be a while on all that. But notice the second thing, there's a gift of God's goodness. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there's a second gift that is bestowed upon us. The word bestowed just means to give, but also means to give title to. You've ever had someone give you a car, give you something with a title to it? It means there's a claim on it. That's what the word bestow means. Notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, Paul writes, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yea, not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Now, do we see the goodness of God has been bestowed upon us? Number 2, we see the grace of God has been bestowed upon us. He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me. Now, sometimes we give gifts with a purpose. Sometimes we give gifts just because we love the person, we appreciate the person, or we just want to let them know that we love them. Thank you for that song tonight. I just want you to know I love you. I just want you to know how much I worship you and praise you. And I think that's something we ought to say. And I think it's a great song. I think it's a great thing to do. But sometimes we give gifts with intent for those gifts to be used. Just like I mentioned those gifts a while ago that you don't give on Mother's Day. Sometimes kids give their father's gifts they want daddy to use for their benefit. We understand the Heavenly Father has given us gifts. And some of the gifts he gives us, he wants us to use. They're gifts, I guess you'd call them utilitarian gifts. They're gifts that will be utilized. They're gifts that will be put to practice. Notice what the Bible says again in this verse. He said, the gift that is bestowed upon me is a gift of grace. Now, notice two reasons he gives us grace. There's a lot of more reasons I could give you, but two reasons. Look in Ephesians chapter 3, if you would please. Ephesians chapter 3, there's two reasons why God gives us grace. There's a lot more, but two I want to share with you tonight. Ephesians chapter 3, look at us, if you will please, in verse 7. Why does God bestow upon us grace? Is it because we deserve it? No, it's just the opposite. We don't deserve grace. That's why it's grace, because we don't deserve it. It's grace because we didn't earn it. It's grace because we couldn't purchase it. It's grace because we deserve none of it. That's why it's grace. But God gives us that grace for a reason. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and look, if you would, please, in verse 7. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, God bestows upon us grace. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7, he said, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual worker of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ. First of all, Paul said, I'm given this grace so that I might proclaim God's goodness. Paul said in verse 8, he said, I'm less than the least of all saints. Twice he says in verse 7 and verse 8, he said, this is a gift that is given. It's a gift of grace. And he says in verse 8, for this reason is this grace given that I should preach or proclaim among the Gentiles unsearchable riches of Christ. Do you understand why God gave us the gift of grace? Oh yeah, preacher, so I can go to heaven. No, that's not the reason. That's part of the benefits. That's not the reason. The reason God gave us the gift of the grace is so that we could tell others about the grace of God. Paul said, I'm the least of all saints. Paul said, I'm the worst of the whole lot. May I say to you, we ought to understand where we were before God bought us. And God saved us. And God delivered us. And Paul said, I want to tell you, this grace is given to me so that I can say that I'm the least of all saints. And Paul said, if God can save me, then God can certainly save any of you. Paul said, I'm the least. I deserve less than anybody. And Paul understood that the grace that was bestowed upon him was so that he might proclaim and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Turn, if you would, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 4, or chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Not only do we see God's grace is given to us, it's bestowed upon us that we might preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you have to stand behind a pulpit and preach. That's the reason that we use the word proclaim. You can proclaim at the gas station. You can proclaim at Dairy Queen. We stopped at church, didn't stop at church. We took my father out to eat Friday night for Father's Day. We got back into town, and my youngest says the same thing she says about four times a day. Daddy, I need some ice cream. And that child's going to break me just in ice cream. She loves ice cream more than anybody I've ever seen in my life. She said, Daddy, we need some ice cream. So we was going through Sylvester, and so God drew us and led us to Dairy Queen. And we're sitting in there waiting to get an ice cream, and a guy come in, and I don't know what happened, but somehow they'd messed up his order. You know what? He had no problem at all proclaiming what was wrong with his order. He didn't care who was around. He didn't care what he said. He didn't care who heard it. He had no problem proclaiming while he felt like, and I thought, fellas, you don't understand. This is the best Dairy Queen within 50 miles of here. You don't get it. I didn't say that, but I want to say that. But I thought, you know what? We can go someplace like that and have no problem proclaiming everything but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, God gave me this grace so that I can proclaim his goodness. I can proclaim to a lost world how gracious God is. It's so easy, isn't it, to go to the gas station, to go to the restaurant, to go to a place of business and gripe about the weather and complain about our boss and complain about work. When's the last time we just walked in and they asked how we're doing and said, man, God sure is gracious to me. Let me tell you about it. That's what Paul's saying. Paul said that's why this grace is given. Not only do we give us the grace to preach, but notice 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse 14. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm chief. And again, Paul is emphasizing the fact that I'm the least of the saints. I'm the chief of sinners. Notice verse 16. He said, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. In verse 14, he's given grace. In verse 16, he said, this grace and this mercy is obtained. It's given to me that I might show forth all long suffering. Understand, this grace is given bestowed upon us to proclaim the gospel. Then number two, to portray the gospel. Paul said, notice he used the word long-suffering. Paul knew a little bit about suffering. Paul knew a little bit about hard times. Paul knew what it was like to go without. He knew what it was like to be beaten. He knew what it was like to be left outside the city for dead. He knew what it was like to be stoned. He knew what it was like to be shipwrecked. Paul knew all about suffering. Paul knew all about the difficulties and the trials of life. And yet Paul said, through my trials and my difficulties, I've been given a gift called grace. And that grace is given to me so that I might portray in my suffering the work that grace does in the life of a believer. No person in this room is without difficulty. No person in this room is without trials and problems. And problems are a part of life. Job said in Job 14 verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. And true words have never been spoken. Life is full of trouble. And Paul said, I understand that I'm going to have trouble. Paul said, there's been a gift given to me by my Father. It's a gift called grace. And that grace allows me to go through every heartache and every trial and every difficulty and every persecution and every problem with a peace and a deep, settled peace that the world cannot understand and cannot get outside of Jesus Christ. That is a gift that God has given us to portray to a lost and dying world, that God's grace is sufficient in everything we go through. May I remind us that the grace of God that God has given is a gift to portray to the world that God's grace is sufficient. So look across this auditorium, boy, there are those of you who have suffered and gone through some of the hardest things that a person could ever go through. The loss of children, loss of mates. I've seen in so many of you, the grace of God is sufficient. And I say to you, it's just not this body that sees it. I want to tell you, an outside world sees it as well. That's the grace that is given. So God has bestowed upon us on Father's Day. The Father gave a gift, the gift of His goodness. There's a gift, number two, of His grace. Number three, there's a gift of His gifts. Notice, if you would please, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 11. God has not only given us the gift of His goodness, His loving kindness is just one small aspect of it. There's a gift of His grace He's bestowed upon us. And then there's a gift of His gifts. And we'll have time to, well, maybe not next week. Brother Tim Crump will be preaching next Sunday night. And we'll look forward to hearing him. But no, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 11. He said, ye also happen together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on your behalf. Now, he's talking about gifts that the church at Corinth gave the Apostle Paul. But understand that God gives us gifts as well. For us, for some, it's like the gift they gave. It was the gift of giving. God had blessed them, and out of their abundance they gave. And Paul said, that's a great gift. But understand, God has given each of us gifts. Some have the gift of giving. There are some that God has blessed you financially, and you give, and you use that gift, and thank God for it. So many people are blessed by your giving. Boys, I look across this room and I see people that repeatedly, over and over again, not one time, but over and over and over again, have come to me and said, preacher, so-and-so's got a need. Would you make sure they get this? And they don't even know where it comes from. Just make sure they get it. And boy, so many times God has blessed you. And I found out later from testimonies of folks that have been here and gone that have come back and said, preacher, I'll call them on the phone. And they said, preacher, when we were at Pine Bluff, man, so-and-so was such a blessing. One time they gave us this. And things that I may know about that you never knew, anybody knew anything about, but your graciousness in your giving is, I want to tell you, that's a great gift. And many of you have given that gift. So some, God has given you the gift of encouragement and support and love. Man, that's a great gift. Just be there to just say, I understand. To be there and to be a help and a blessing, there's a gift of our gifts. May I say to you, on Father's Day, I enjoyed getting gifts, some that I can work with, some I can just enjoy. There's gifts, but I'll tell you the greatest gift on Father's Day is from the Father himself. And the only way I can wrap it up is John said, wow, what manner of love. And again, I'm not adding to the scriptures, but I think he would also say, what measure of love. What manner of love has the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. God has bestowed his goodness upon us. God has bestowed his grace upon us. And God has bestowed his gifts upon us. We won't have time to read it now, but you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 especially. And Paul talks, chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, Paul talks about the gifts that God has given to us. And you don't have time to get into that. It's too deep. That's a series again. We'll have time to get into that tonight. But in those three chapters, Paul says God has given each of us gifts. They're all different, but God has given us gifts. On Father's Day, the best gifts are not to the Father. The best gifts are from the Father. What manner of love hath the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? The gift of his goodness, the gifts of his grace, and the gift of his gifts. I think about this song we sung tonight, and I know it's not by design, but Brother Marcus sung two of my favorite songs today. The first one this morning, Day by Day. Love that song. And then the song tonight, Living for Jesus. Let me just read the third verse of that song again, because quite often we skip the third verse. Don't ask me why, but we do. Read just the third verse. Living for Jesus, and I love this statement, wherever I am. May I say to young adults and college students and teenagers tonight, don't get this idea, whoa, when God puts me in that place, I'm going to serve him. Hogwash, you serve God right here where you are. I hear people say, well, there's nothing in Albany. Well, can I tell you something? There is something. There's lost people dying and going to hell. And somebody's got to tell them. Why are we searching for some utopia for God to put us in? God, hey, you say, it's dark around here. It's better. Well, what better place for the light to shine than where it's dark? Verse 3, living for Jesus wherever I am, doing each duty in his holy name. What you're doing for tomorrow night, it's not for Pine Bluff Baptist Church. It's not for some preacher. It's not for some man's benefit. We're doing it in his holy name. Willing to suffer affliction and loss, deeming each trial a part of my cross. May I say that cross you're called to bear, God given you grace for already. Living for Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou and thine atonement didst give thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone. On Father's Day, the best gifts are not to the Father, they're from the Father, and they're bestowed upon us.